We're turning in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We'll end at verse 7. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're turning once more to the second Corinthians and the chapter 4 and the verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 5. We'll first of all take a moment or two to seek the Lord again and to ask his help in the preaching of the word. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for an open Bible, for civil and religious liberty, for the blessed freedom and opportunity we have of coming together in this fashion to meet around the Word of God, to hear that Word proclaimed, and to pray that thy divine stamp of blessing and approval might be upon the ministry of the Word of God. To this end, we come to thee in all our need, and pray for divine help, for the assistance of the Holy Ghost, that he might be poured out and fresh oil will be upon us. We ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. You will find these words in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not going to use all the words of the text, but in the text we have these words: we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. The Apostle Paul was absolutely confident and totally sure that he had the supreme message and the right message for the day in which he lived. He had no doubts about that and was assured to the very core that he had the right message for the people. The message that he preached and its contents had transformed his own life, changed him from being a persecutor of God's people to being a church builder in the things of God. And so his message became what he called my gospel. We read more than once in the epistles that the Apostle Paul called the gospel that we preach his gospel. Now, it was not his origination, this gospel. The gospel originated in heaven. It came from God. Yet, this gospel became Paul's gospel because it became such a part of him. And it became such a powerful experience in his soul, in his heart, in his entire life, that he could take the gospel of God and say, "It's my gospel." I wonder, can you do that tonight, believer? Do you know the Lord's like the apostle? Do you love him? Are you serving him? Are you really swallowing up the word that you can say, "This is my gospel"? Oh, we know it's God's gospel. It was sent from him. But it had done so much for the apostle that he was transformed completely. He was a new creature in Christ, that he now claims God's gospel to be his own. I want to speak tonight on the gospel that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what we want to commend to you tonight. And that's what we want to tell you about. Christianity does not of necessity come through religious organizations. Oh yes, they may be preachers of the word, but it comes from Jesus Christ. We don't look to religious systems for our salvation. We think of many in the world tonight who take their cue religiously from various systems in the world. Take Buddhism, for example. All it can give us, that after many, many eons, as they call them, that is ages, after many ages, in the end of it, there is only complete extinction and annihilation. That's the hope of Buddhism. There's no hope in Buddhism. There's nothing there for the soul of any man or woman, boy or girl. All it can offer after eon is extinction and annihilation. We think of Hinduism or Islam and all the rest of the contemporary religions of the day. They have nothing really to offer. Nothing. No solid rock on which the soul can rest. They are the result of men's activities and the result of men's workings and of men's ideas. We think of so-called modernism, the modern trends of today, and they have destroyed historic Protestantism, and they have destroyed the gospel in their attempts to deny the truths of God's word. That's all they do. And yet, there are hundreds of thousands of Protestant people sitting in modernistic churches being led astray by the false teaching of modernists. That's part of the gospel that I'm talking about just now. It is preaching the whole counsel of God. There are those who would say, "Stick to the gospel and preach Christ." I am preaching Christ. And I am preaching the gospel. because I'm warning against false religions and against modernism, and alerting people to beware of all these snares of the devil that are set as traps to ensnare people. And so we can see in the Word of God there are many deniers. The book of Jude is full of warnings. The epistles of the Apostle Paul, over and over again, warn the preachers to be faithful and warn Christians to be aware. There are Bible deniers today who deny the inspiration of the Scriptures. There are those who deny the virgin birth of Christ. There are those in the modern churches who deny the blood atonement. Should I not preach against that? Should I not warn men and women? Of course, it's my duty. There are those who deny the resurrection of Christ. There are those who deny the very facts of Christianity and truths of gospel preaching. You tell a man that he came from the beasts, and it's very likely he will act like a beast. That's the result of modernism. That's the result of what we have today. What of Romanism? Romanism claims that her priests, which are mere men, can turn a wafer into Christ, when even those men themselves cannot even turn their own selves from their own sins. And yet, they can turn a wafer into the person of Christ. Religion has failed the world. There's no doubt about that. But Christ never fails. And we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And tonight, we are here to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Not the systems of men or of the world, not the ideas of mankind, but we're here to preach and to lift up the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. First of all, in preaching Christ Jesus the Lord, let me say that Jesus Christ is a God of love. I am talking of love that is without money and without price. And yet it is priceless. The love that Jesus had for me to die upon a cruel cross is more than I can tell. We were singing about it. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet in our sins, the Lord Jesus made atonement for us. He paid the price for our salvation. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. The bitter sorrows that he bore, we were singing those words. I trust that they grip your heart and they put feeling into your soul. The bitter sorrows that he bore, and oh, the crown of thorns he wore, that I might live forevermore, is more than tongue can tell. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. He came with his love to this world, and he comes into this meeting tonight with his love for sinners. And he spreads his hands, and he shows us his feet, and he shows us his side. And the cross would tell us God is love. the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, and the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling like a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. We're enveloped. We're swamped in the love of Christ. We're covered head to toe, round about, in the great, vast, immeasurable love of our blessed Savior. Oh, the love of God to me. Does it not sink into the heart? Because he wants to impart that love. He wants to impart that love into your soul. And when that love is imparted into your soul, then you will have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart. The love of God shed abroad in your soul. Don't miss it. Oh, seek it tonight. You will love the things that Jesus loves. You will love the Bible. You will love the ways of the Lord. You will love God's people. You will love the church of the firstborn. You will love the church of Jesus Christ. You'll love the souls of men, even souls for whom Christ died. And no sacrifice you'll find that you can make in your service for Jesus Christ will be too great. No demand will be too heavy. Nothing will be too difficult for you. You'll be glad that you've tasted of that love and that you're serving the God of love, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Oh, therefore, taste and see that God is good. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We think of Jesus Christ, a God of love. We think of him as the light of the world. The light of the world. In John, the first epistle and the first chapter, it tells us God is light in the verse 5, and in him is no darkness at all. When at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Here is the God of light in our midst. He came into a dark world of sin. He came into this fallen world of mankind with the light of his glorious truth, the light of the glorious gospel. And thank God, that light has shone from the ministry of Christ, from the words of Christ, from the works of Christ, from the miracles of Christ, from the parables of Christ, and from the cross of Christ. That light shines, and praise God, it's still shining. He's the light of the world, and I'm glad that light has shone upon me and exposed the darkness of my soul and has led me out of that darkness into his most marvelous light. Have you had that experience? It happened to me when I was 14 years of age. What age are you? And maybe it still hasn't happened to you. And maybe you haven't many more birthdays left. You need to trust the Lord and let the light of the glorious gospel shine into your soul. It says here, if this gospel be hid, it's hidden to those that are lost. And my friend, If this gospel is hidden from you, you'd be a lost soul. For it says the only thing that will bring light into your pathway. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Who are you following tonight? What is your destiny? Where are you going? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ not only gives light, but he gives life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God I am come, said the Lord Jesus, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And you can have life, which is eternal life, the life of God in the soul. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, eternal life. Glory to Jesus forever. When you continue to travel down that broad road in your darkness, you know not where you're going, stumbling over every stumbling block until you eventually stumble into hell and outer darkness, lost and without God and without Christ forevermore. Why do you go on that path which leads to ruin, which leads to darkness, which leads to hell and destruction? Why? It's because you're in the darkness and you are not walking in the light. You're blinded, as we read here in this passage of God's word, by the God of this world, who blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel should shine into their hearts. But I tell you that once the light shines, you'll see your folly. You'll see your wrongdoing. You'll see your foolishness. And you'll see where you're headed. The light will attract you to it. Praise God, Christ says, if I be lifted up. And we're lifting up the light of the world. And he says, I will draw all men unto me. What an attraction is the light of the world. Once our eyes are opened, once we're made to see our sin and the loveliness of Christ and what he has done for us, what an attraction he is. But to many in the world, he is like a root out of a dry ground. There is no comeliness, nothing beautiful in him that they should desire him. That's the worldling. Is that how you're walking through this world, traveling on to eternity? Praise God for the many here who have seen the light and are walking in the light and love the attractiveness of Christ as they're drawn to him. Oh, we pray, Lord, draw me closer. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious, precious wounded son. Is that your prayer, child of God? Do you love him with all your heart and with all your soul? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not only a God of love, a God of light, and a God of life. Praise God, he is the way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Life doesn't consist in the possessions that we have. It doesn't consist of the things of this world. We read in history of Queen Elizabeth I, a good queen in many ways, a Protestant queen. But I'll tell you, when she came to her deathbed, this is what she said. This is what she said. All my possessions for a moment of time. She lamented her wasted opportunities. She lamented that she had rested in possessions and gloried in her kingdom. And she says it's only for a moment of time. A moment of time. No, heaven and earth will pass away. But the Bible says, my word shall not pass away. Will you not lay that word up in your heart? And let it into your soul. And you'll have something that lasts. The rich man was going to tear down his barns and build greater ones. And then he was going to take things easy. He's going to retire. Going to put his feet up. He was going to be merry and happy, as he thought. But he was a foolish man. Because on the very day he made his plans, he may have sat down with the architect. He may have visited the bank and talked to the manager. He may have made all the arrangements with all the people concerned, not knowing that that very night his soul was going to leave the body. And the body would become a corpse, and his soul was going out into eternity, lost and without God forevermore. Whose were going to be all these things? I tell you, whose will be the things that you leave behind? Oh yes, we make preparations for our families and our loved ones. And then in time they will be called home or away from this life. And as time goes by, the memory fades of who we were and who we are and what we had and what we did. You know, it's only what's done for Jesus Christ is going to last. And you need tonight to think over these things very, very seriously. You need to think about them seriously. People say they want to go out and have the good life, out into the world and live it up. When I was a young man, I heard it so often amongst my fellow workmates, you're only young once. Enjoy yourself. Go out into the world. Have a smoke. Have a drink. Go to the dance floor. Enter the picture house. Do all these things. Enjoy yourself. Live it up. And people think they're living. But they're not. They're dying. They're dying. And they're doing these things on the very doorstep of eternity. On the very launching pad that launches them out into the great darkness beyond. And they think they're living, but they're dying all the while. They're enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, enjoying the company of the ungodly, enjoying the sins of the age, living for time and for sense. That's what you're doing, my friend, tonight. You're not really living at all. You're dying. Because sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth death. That's why So many of the film stars of Hollywood, the top rung of their ambition in life, destroy their own lives. That's why they do it. All the money they have doesn't bring peace. All the grandeur around them doesn't bring peace. All their publicity doesn't bring peace, and popularity doesn't bring peace. And as a result, many of them destroy their lives and they go out into eternity sad, dejected, without hope, without salvation. How will you fare when it comes to eternity? Such people, as I've just mentioned, thought they were living, but they were not living at all. They were destroying their own lives. Are you destroying your life? This world has nothing to offer. The religions of the world, as I said at the start, have nothing to offer. These things that are seen are only temporal. That's all. Passing. Flimsical. Not lasting. And what does all that mean? It means that they're only for a moment, and then they're gone. They're gone forever. Jesus Christ warned, and he said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. You can possess the whole world and lose your soul, and you will never really live properly and have real life until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. How does this life come? It comes by the new birth. Jesus met a man called Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Nicodemus was so dull of understanding, couldn't take it in. He asked questions, and Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And he went on to explain, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is life." And my friend, what he told him, he must be born from above by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of regeneration, bringing new life. And when Nicodemus understood that, it was only then that he recognized he could have everlasting life by trusting in Christ. You can have that tonight as well by coming as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only the giver of love and of light and of life to the sinner, but he's the giver of liberty. Liberty. "If therefore the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed." People think that they are free. We were mentioning a little about that this morning. There's a false freedom and a true freedom. And people think that this world gives them freedom. Freedom to do as they want, to do as they please, to enjoy what they desire. But my friend, it's a false freedom, and it leads to bondage and to darkness and to a lost eternity. The devil was never able to give us that freedom, even though he promises it in all the adverts of the day and in so many other different ways. Thank God, Jesus Christ, who walked this life flawlessly, the crimeless and sinless and faultless and spotless Lamb of God, he's able to give us liberty, to set the captive free.
He breaks the power of cancelled sin, and he sets the prisoner free. His blood avails this moment, and he can set you free tonight. Thank God he conquered death. He conquered sin, and he conquered the devil, and he conquered hell. And in Christ alone, there is perfect freedom and liberty. And you can be freed from your sin and your bondage through Jesus Christ, who's able to forgive your sin and to set you free. Thank God he's alive, having died on the cross and suffered in our place, having given his life a ransom for many, having shed his precious blood and suffered the agonies of the cruel tree. Praise God, he rose again, and he's alive forevermore, and promises that everlasting life and liberty and freedom to all who will come and put their trust in him. All you have to do tonight to know this is to come to Christ. Wesley came to the Lord Jesus, and he puts it in song when he writes the hymn, "My Chains Fell Off." He was imprisoned by sin. He knew that he was not free, but he says, "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose and I went forth and I followed him." May you know the falling off of the chains that bind you. May you walk out into the freedom and the liberty of the sons and children of God. May you enjoy him for the rest of your life and for all of God's eternity. Thank God he's able. He's able to save you. Only trust him now. Only trust him. Praise God, he'll save you. Hallelujah. And he'll save you now.